Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden History of Texas. Well, Texas made it to the end of 1835, and in a couple of months, in 1836, things are going to finally come to a head and independence will be gained. But before the two big battles of 1836, and those are the Battle of the Alamo and the Battle of San Jacinto, there were skirmishes and battles that took place during the closing months of 1835. Now, those battles are October 2nd, first part of October, the Battle of Gonzales. Later in the month, again in October, it's the Battle of Goliad. Still at that same time, we have the Battle of Concepcion. And then on December 11th, 1835, the Siege of Bear begins. Now, I want to take a look at each of these early battles, and we're going to look a little bit closer. But we're going to start in Gonzales, Texas. Gonzales today is a pretty little town. It's in between San Antonio and Houston. It's on Interstate 90 or Route 90 now, and it's a great place to visit. Now, it was one of those early settlements, and it was made up of fiercely independent people. There were also mostly Anglos, and they didn't have any particular allegiance to Mexico. In 1831, the colonists had been given a small cannon to help in their defense against raids by the Apache and the Comanche. Now, when the government decided it was time to take the cannon back, the colonists refused to give it up. When Domingo de Ugarticia, the military commander in Texas, received word from the Mexican government that the American colonists had to surrender the cannon, well, he dispatched Francisco de Castaneda and 100 dragoons to retrieve it. Now, understand that Ugarticia realized that the way feelings were running between the Texans and Santa Anna's centralist government, it wouldn't take much to ignite hostilities. So he told Castaneda that if it was necessary, he could use force, but to avoid open conflict if at all possible, okay? Now, the company rode out of San Antonio de Bear on September 27th, 1835. Now, on September 29th, Castaneda's troops reached the Guadalupe River opposite of Gonzales, where they found their path blocked by high water and 18 militiamen. Now, these were later called the Old 18. Well, Castaneda announced that he carried a dispatch for Alcalde Andrew Ponton, but was informed that he was out of town and that the Mexican dragoons would have to wait on the west side of the river until he returned. Unable to proceed, Castaneda decided to pitch camp about 300 yards from the ford. Now, as he awaited word from the absent alcalde, the Gonzales residents called for reinforcements from several of the surrounding settlements. Now later, a Cushada Indian entered the Mexican camp and informed Castaneda that the number of Texan volunteers now numbered at least 140, and more were expected. Knowing he couldn't forge the guarded crossing, Castaneda abandoned his campsite near the fort and marched his troops in search of another spot that might not be as well defended. He found one, and around sundown on October 1st, he orders his dragoons to pitch camp 7 miles upriver from the contested ford on land belonging to colonist Ezekiel Williams. While Castaneda moved his men, so did the Texans, and on the night of October 1st, their troops crossed to the west bank of the Guadalupe and marched upriver towards the area where Castaneda's were camped. Now, on the morning of October 2nd, they attacked the Mexicans, and Castaneda ordered his men to fall back to a low rise behind their camp. During a lull in the fighting, Castaneda arranged a parley with Texan commander John Henry Moore. Castaneda asked why the Texans had attacked, and Moore told him the Texans were fighting to keep their cannon and to uphold the Constitution of 1824. Well, Castaneda then assured Moore that, well, he himself was a Federalist and personally opposed, and was personally opposed, that's important, to the policies of Santa Anna. He added he had no wish to fight colonists. He only had orders to reclaim the cannon. Moore then invited Castaneda to join the Texans in their fight for the Federal Constitution of 1824. Castaneda explained that as a soldier, he was obliged to follow his orders, whether or not he agreed with the politics behind him. At that point, negotiations broke down. Okay, when fighting resumed, Castaneda, finding himself outnumbered and outgunned, ordered a withdrawal towards Bear. He may also have been mindful of his orders not to participate in actions that were likely to bring about a conflict. In his report to Ugartecia, Castaneda stated that since the orders from your lordship were for me to withdraw without compromising the honor of Mexican arms, I did so. Despite Castaneda's efforts to avoid war, the Battle of Gonzales marked a clear break between the American colonists and the Mexican government. Now, next time, I'm going to tell you about the Goliad Campaign of 1835. And this is also going to keep going into 1836 and is sometimes referred to as the Massacre of Goliad, the Goliad Massacre. Well, it would lead to that. Because the initial battle was not limited to the one settlement. It encompassed several of the towns in and around the area. And this is where we meet General Cos of the Mexican Army. If you want more information on Texas history, visit Texas State Historical Association. I also have two audiobooks on the hidden history of Texas. One which deals with the 1500s to about 1820, and the other one 1820s to 1830s. You can find the books pretty much wherever you download or listen to audiobooks. And you can listen, links to all the stores are on my publisher's website. That's https://ashbynavis.com. It's also, I know, a Spotify podcast. So check it out if you get a chance. I'd appreciate it. So until next time, when we go to Goliad, Texas, I'm Hank Wilson. Thanks for joining me. This has been The Hidden History of Texas.